Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it is draft day eve. This is the day before the favorite day of our next guest. He joins us each and every week at this time. He's on the Byers Barricades hotline. He is the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. Does a great job covering the draft. I highly recommend tracking down the Harris 100, the final version of it. All sortable and everything else. It's great. Johnny Harris joining us on the show. So, Johnny, this is draft day eve. So, are you going to leave a plate of cookies and milk by the chimney, hoping that a fat man that can play left tackle gets sent down the chimney for Christmas morning?
No, but I am going to watch draft day with Kevin Costner. I can promise you that.
On what not to do?
Yeah, David Putney ends up being a Texan. You'll know what Brian Dane did last night. So,
oh, Johnny, what's your excitement level right now?
Pretty good. I mean, I think I'm kind of like Brian. We talked to him on Monday, I think it was, and he said, "Look, by the time I go home Wednesday and go to bed, I'll feel good. We'll have the board all set. We'll just have to let things play out. And look, there are a lot of things that can happen on this choose-your-own-adventure novel that is the draft, 22 steps of it before it gets to the Texans unless they trade up, which I wouldn't bet money on, hint. So from that perspective, I think they feel pretty good. I mean, I feel like, pretty good. I've been watching prospects, pretty much every day up till today, and I'm sure tomorrow in the morning there'll be a couple of guys that I haven't probably paid as much attention to as I should have. I'll probably look at them a little bit harder. Maybe see if there's some FCS prospect that I haven't been paying attention to that needs a look at as well. But for the most part, I feel pretty good about it. I'm looking forward to kicking off the coverage tomorrow at 6 with All Access and then 7 with the draft right here at Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, Johnny, you use that phrase a lot, the choose-your-own-adventure novel. I heard you use it the other night talking to Brian Gain. And I guess just as you look at this, let's do this right now. What do you think the adventure is going to look like when the Texans are on the clock at 23? If you had to pick a scenario and it involves three or four names on the board, what does John Harris envision in his mind being the scenario, being the choices that Brian Gain, the most intriguing choices Brian Gain could be facing at 23?
Well, I think the biggest one is, what does your tier two offensive line prospect board look like? Because I think that tier one, the tackles, Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams, and Andre Dillard are all going to be off the board. I just have the closer we get to this thing, the more I feel like that's going to happen. That you're going to have to prepare for either A, if you want one of those three and you got to have one of those three, then you better be ready to move up. But more than likely, I think B, if Brian's going to stay there at 23, then it's got to be, okay, who's in the tier two level tackles or offensive linemen, I should say. Because in order to say it's the corners, the more I think about this, and I know we've talked about Greedy Williams, I think there's a lot of smoke to this whole fire of Greedy Williams not taking one on-campus NFL visit. I think there's something with that. And look, I've seen guys in the Texans building over the years that were guys I would have never thought had gotten in that building. Like, whoa, that guy had a lot of off-the-field problems. Why is he here? What are we doing with this guy? Greedy Williams didn't take one NFL visit, not one. So he would be the only guy that I really could make a case for, other than, and I think they could trade down and do this, the only other guy that I think fits them, and I know people say DeAndre Baker, Byron Murphy, those guys just don't fit what the Texans want to do. Rocky Sin out of Temple, that guy, a better scheme fit than anything else. I think 23 is a little bit of a reach, But I do think that Rockiesen is the kind of player that the Texans would like to have at corner. But I just don't know that 23, I think that's too high for him. So I feel like it's got to be kind of that tier two alignment. So who's in that group? So maybe it's Greg Little from Ole Miss. Maybe it's Dalton Reisner from Kansas State. Maybe it's Chris Lindstrom from out of Boston College. Maybe those guys are in that tier two group. Oh, Cody Ford. I just think Cody Ford's off the board. I did a mock draft in Jacksonville yesterday, and I was following the picks. The producer gave me all the picks that had gone before, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take Cody Ford. And then Baltimore, right in front of me, took Cody Ford. So I ended up going with Dalton Reisner because all those Q1 linemen were off the board. And already at that point, Greedy Williams is off the board too, so I really didn't have too much of a decision to make. And so I went with the guy that I think is more of a sure thing than anything else, Dalton Reisner. So that's what I think Brian's going to be faced with at 23 if he stays there. What is and what does my tier two offensive line group look like if it's led by Cody Ford and Dalton Reisner, Greg Little, et cetera? I think Little's probably got the most potential in that group, but I also think that his floor is probably the lowest of that entire group. So he's more the wild card, if you will. But I could see the Texans taking him, saying, look, you're going to make your mistakes, but look, you're a really good athlete. We can turn you into something. It's like they did with Dwayne Brown a few years ago. Now, Little's got a lot more experience at left tackle than Dwayne did when he came here, but Little's that kind of athlete. He's got to tweak a few things. So we'll see if the Texans fall in love with any of these guys. But I would think it is tier two linemen have got to be kind of the focus at 23, unless they're willing to trade up and get one of those top three I talked about.
John, I get the argument, and I respect the argument for drafting based on value versus what you might necessarily need at a specific position. I mean, if you're sitting wherever we're talking about in the draft and you're on the clock and there's someone available that you think should have been long off the board, I get going for that guy and I respect going for that guy. If that's the case at 23, because we all know the household names by now at offensive line, at cornerback, and you know, I think most people will be at least a little bit surprised if it's not one of those positions or the other at 23. But if it's not, what's at the top of your list in terms of position that it might be?
You know, one that I've really given a lot of – I've thought about this, especially over the last couple of weeks, Rich. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been watching, obviously, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence signed a contract, and I watched Frank Clark get traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, sign a big contract. And, of course, you think about Jadeveon Clowney. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, Trey Young, who does a great job with our ticketing in the office. And he's an Ole Miss guy. And so we've been talking about all the guys from Ole Miss. And you know, not that he's been saying, hey, the Texans need to draft these guys. We were just talking. And I said, you know, we were just talking about a bunch of stuff. And I said, you know, this pass rush situation for the Texans, it can go to hell in a handbasket really quickly, if you think about it. Because if they can't come to a deal, a long-term deal with Clowney, I think Whitney's in the last year of his contract as well. So you could go from having your big three pass rushers to all of a sudden looking up and going, hey, wait, all you got left is J.J. Watt? I mean, that thing can turn really quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised or opposed to a guy that can come off the edge. And here's what I think is going to end up happening with a couple of guys, Rashawn Gary being one. I do think there are some teams that are a little leery of Montez Sweat, so I think they're just going to say, maybe too risky, let's move on. So I think that guys like Rashawn Gary and Montez Sweat could be staring the Texans right in the face at 23. And then they'd have to think, wait a second. And here's the couple. First of all, with Gary, you don't even know if he's going to play this year. So it's almost like a futures pick in some sense. But we saw the Cowboys do that with Jalen Smith in the second round. Look how that's panned out for them. We've seen other teams do that with players as well, and it's worked out. But I think this team has more immediate needs. But I think when you start thinking about how this pass rush situation can go from really, really exciting with three guys that we all know we love and we've watched them for years to all of a sudden being, holy cow, there's only one guy. We better go get somebody. So that's the one that I think could be staring in the face, in large part because of the injury situation of Gary, because of the situation with Montez Sweat. I think you very well could have a couple of really excellent long-term answers to that pass rusher that you look at and go, who, what? I don't know. We need to really think about this. And I think the other one, and we talked about this before, I think the interior pass rusher would make a lot of sense. You know, I've talked about Jerry Tillery. I think Jerry would be a good fit on this defense. You bring him on third down, and he jumps out there with those pass rushers. from the inside. You know, DJ Reader comes off the field. Here comes Killery, fresh, ready to go. And he's creating havoc from the inside. I wouldn't mind that whatsoever at 23. But I wouldn't be surprised to look at those two positions because of how, like I said, the contractual situations of Whitney and JD can change this whole thing in a quick minute.
John, what's your best guess at what happens at the top of the draft?
As far as with Kyler Murray go number one?
Yeah.
I think Kyler Murray is going to go number one. And I don't know. I mean, I don't have intel. I don't have any inside information. I just feel like for Cliff Kingsbury, that's the right fit. But here's the problem, I guess, if you look at it this way. Ownership is finally stepping up going, hey, wait a second. Step back from this, guys. I gave you a lot of money and a lot of leeway last year to move up and get Josh Rosen. Because Steve Kahn, you're still my GM, right? And you told me Josh Rosen was the answer. And I went to bat for you. And I said, okay, let's do it. And I paid him $10 million of a signing bonus, and I gave him a lot of money last year. And now you're telling me, 1 year later, no, this is the way that we now have to go under Cliff Kingsbury. So, to me, it almost becomes kind of a power play. Like, who's got a little bit more power in that organization, more sway over Michael Bidwell? It's the guy, Steve Keim, that has been there for a while, that Michael Bidwell knows well, but also Steve Keim's had some issues off the field, or Cliff Kingsbury, the new, hot, exciting, innovative new coach I just signed, but has really not spent a whole lot of time around the NFL and definitely hasn't had a head coach in the NFL. So if it comes down to Bidwell, I got a feeling they'll go with Nick Bosa at number one. They'll hold on to Josh Rosen, and they'll make do and make do with Rosen, the number 10 pick in last year's draft, the guy they moved up to go get. But down deep, I think they're gonna say, look, Kyler Murray gives us a kick in the backside. He's exciting. He's going to play behind an offensive line. It's still looking great. So that's going to make life even more exciting. So I do think Kyler Murray is going to end up going number one. After that, Rich, all bets are off. You think Nick Bosa goes number two if San Francisco hangs on to pick? I think whoever's at number two is going to take Nick Bosa. But then the draft to me really starts at number three. The Jets have said, we want to trade down. We want to trade down. But then I read today that Ed Oliver said, yeah, he and Greg Williams sat down and watched Aaron Donald film. And I guarantee you Greg Williams is sitting there going, I'm going to get the next Aaron Donald. This is who I want. And you know how Greg Williams is. He's not going to sit back. He's not going to hold his tongue. I guarantee you he's been at the door of Mike Maccagnan saying in those certain words, go bleeping, bleepity, bleepity, get me Ed Oliver now. Bleepity, bleep. And so I think Ed Oliver to the Jets makes a lot of sense from that perspective. And the thing is, the Jets, he can play anywhere with them, really, because you have Andre Anderson and Leonard Williams. You can do so many different things with Oliver at that point because you have those two guys already. He can play outside, play inside. He can do all kinds of things. But to me, that's where it gets interesting because if a team makes a move up to get Oliver, then the whole apple cart is knocked over and we got to all start over again. But I think that's probably the way it goes the first three, Murray, Bosa, and then Ed Oliver. And then, of course, the Raiders are going at four, presumably, unless the Raiders do something to move up to number one or move down. It's going to be interesting to see what Mack and Gruden do. But there just seems to be there's going to be this kind of curveball at number four that nobody sees coming, and that'll change everything for this draft going forward.
That's John Harris, Texan sideline reporter. All right, Johnny, you know I like to do this with you on draft day eve each year. I want to rapid fire a few prop bets at you so I can I got three kids in college, man, so I need a little scratch.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you said Murray's going to go number one. Is there any value on taking no, that Kyler Murray wouldn't be picked in the first or second pick at 6-1?
Oh, you know, I might put a flyer on it for sure because, like I said, Michael Bidwell's ultimately got to make the decision and then say, look, no, we're sticking with Rosen. So I do think there is some value in no, absolutely. I'm not one of those saying 99.9% sure. No way, man. The only thing that's 99.9% sure are death taxes and, you know, the fact that my wife won't see me this weekend. That's about 99.9% sure. That's it. Other than that, anything can happen. So, there's absolute value in that.
All right, Johnny, here we go. A few players with their draft slot. Drew Lock, over, under 9.5.
Over.
Oh.
Gotta be worried about the Redskins, though. The Redskins worry me, but they want to go up for Haskins. I think 10 and beyond for Locke. Even though I love Locke, I think it's 10 and beyond.
Okay. Well, I think I know your answer to this next one. Same over-under for Dwayne Haskins, 9.5.
I think it's going to be under. Well, before, yeah.
Okay.
Is that the right way of saying it? Under,
yeah.
I think under. I think he goes before that. I think if the Redskins don't move up, then I think the Giants are absolutely looking at him. I think it would make some sense, even though, no offense, Rich, I think that going with two defensive players and then trying to get to the back end to maybe get a Daniel Jones or whomever else, or Will Greer, if you like him, that might be the better way to go. They need some defensive help, no doubt, especially if they love Eli. So I would say Haskins goes above that, either to the Giants or Redskins trading up.
All right, there he goes. Ed Oliver, I think you already answered. The number's 5.5. You would go under on that one because you think he's going to go third overall.
Yeah.
Marquise Brown, 19.5.
Oh, boy. Where are the Titans? Titans are 19?
Yeah.
I can see the Titans taking a flyer. He feels like, you know, when you watch the Texans, if you're the Titans, you watch the Texans, you're like, man, that Will Fuller does some good things. You know, Marquise Brown could be our Will Fuller. The Tennessee is a spot, but I also think Tennessee can look lineman. I'm going to say it later. I think Tennessee's going to come to their senses and realize they better get bigger and stronger up front, get somebody on their offensive line, get some defensive edge rush help. I think that's the more pertinent need. So I'm going to say Marquise goes a little bit later than that. I think he's in the 20s.
Johnny.
Just a throw-in.
We'll see you out at NRG Stadium tomorrow, and I'm, as always, looking forward to doing day three with you on Saturday, bud.
Absolutely, boys. It's great to talk to you, and hope you guys enjoy the draft.
Yep, you too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.